You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
For many Americans, the Caribbean islands are places to go for a dream vacation, but for people of Caribbean ancestry, a trip to the islands can stir up complex issues involving identity and a clash of cultures. Naomi Jackson explores these themes and more in her debut novel, The Star Side of Bird Hill, a coming-of-age story that follows Dion and Phaedra, teenage sisters from Brooklyn who must spend the summer with their grandmother in Barbados. It's published by the Penguin Press, and it has brought Naomi Jackson to our show. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Should I assume that this is based somewhat on personal experiences?
Well, I like to say that the most interesting things in the book didn't happen to me. But I certainly spent a lot of summers going back to the Caribbean where my family's from. So I certainly drew on childhood experience in this book.
And I assume it draws on the struggle with the whole issue of ancestry when you're a kid.
Of course. I think there's that strange feeling of growing up in the Caribbean growing up in Brooklyn in a highly Caribbean community and then going back to the Caribbean and realizing you're not as Caribbean as you think you are.
Is there a bit of a distinction maybe between Caribbean American and West Indian?
I think West Indian refers to Caribbean people who speak English, whereas Caribbean encompasses more of the Caribbean. So Francophone, Haitian folks, Spanish speakers, all those things.
Well, in this case, you're talking about people who speak English, although there is a problem sometimes when the accents are different.
Yeah.
One of the sisters is made fun of because she speaks with an American accent.
A whole lot, which I certainly was teased mercilessly for when I went back to Antigua, where my dad's from.
Do you think that trips from Brooklyn to Barbados or Antigua when you were a child shaped your personal identity?
Absolutely. I grew up thinking that I was a girl from Brooklyn with a profoundly Caribbean ancestry and identity. So I claim both places as home.
This is different than somebody whose family's roots are in Georgia or Ohio.
You know, I actually am not that sure it's that different. I mean, there are some differences, but I think I've been interested talking to readers who actually got sent home to the South or got sent home to Ohio or wherever for the summer. And there's certain parts of this story that I think really resonate across cultures. I think the differences in a place like Brooklyn, you are all West Indian all the time. In places like Flatbush and Crown Heights, you could be in those neighborhoods and feel like you were deeply in the Caribbean. The food, the culture, the music, the newspapers, you're kind of embedded deeply in Caribbean culture. So I think that that's one of the key differences.
Because there's a lot of segregation in New York City.
A lot.
We think of ourselves in other terms, but there are neighborhoods where everybody pretty much comes from the same place.
Yeah, I mean,
and is the same color.
I think that's shifting a little bit, but I mean, growing up in New York, you could certainly tell on the subway, like who gets on and who gets off where. You can tell when you're moving into and out of certain ethnic communities and neighborhoods. But I actually think that's shifting. I think New York is becoming more multiracial in some of its neighborhoods. Flatbush certainly is.
Let's talk about the title here, The Star Side of Bird Hill. Is Bird Hill a real place in Barbados?
Bird Hill is actually the community that my grandmother lived in Haggett Hall in Barbados. It's a parish called St. Michael. But the Bird Hill of the book is certainly a fictional place. So I took my inspiration a bit from my childhoods growing up in Barbados. And so it's looking at the summer of 1989 in Barbados. And so the Bird Hill here is a rural community. It's an insular place and a place that's defined by its time.
You didn't go back and do research?
I did. I spent a summer in 2012 between my years at the IR Writers Workshop researching this book. So I spent an entire summer in Barbados as an adult, my first full summer as an adult in that place.
What's the star side?
The star side just refers to the special place where teens get up to trouble in this book. So Dion and her summer love, Trevor, spent a lot of time playing in the graveyard behind the church. So the star side is just the name for their place.
Why have these girls been sent off to live with their grandmother? Is it simply the sort of thing that you do? Or were there problems in Brooklyn?
I think there's both. So it's definitely the case that plenty of Caribbean families send their kids home. So I had the experience where as soon as the last day of school happened, like that Saturday or Monday, we were on a flight to Antigua or Barbados, and we'd come back around Labor Day. So that's a general experience I think lots of kids share. These kids, however, their mother has been depressed for some time before she sends them away. And I think she originally thinks that this is just going to give her some breathing room, some time to get herself back together.
Well, her husband is long gone.
Yeah. So she's struggling.
Their father.
She's struggling. She's a nurse during the AIDS crisis in the late 80s. So she's actually left her job mostly because of a result of her burnout and depression related to that work. And her husband's left her. She's raising these two kids on her own. So I think it's fair to say that as the book opens, Avril, their mother, is in a bad way.
Now, why did you choose to set it at the time of the AIDS crisis? Because of your own experience or because you thought that that was an important thing to also address in a novel like this?
I actually chose to set it in the summer of 89 because those were the summers that I spent in the Caribbean. And so I wanted to draw a Caribbean that was very close to my own experience. And then as I worked through the book, I started to think about that time and what were the defining moments. So David Dinkins comes to power, one of the first black mayors in New York City in the late 80s. There's the Crown Heights riots. There's the AIDS crisis. There are all these major political events that I was able to kind of layer on in the book. But I started from my personal experience.
And then there's just the issues of kids growing up. You describe the older sister, Dion, as 16 going on a bitter, if beautiful, 45.
Oh, yeah. She's over Barbados by the time she gets there. So she, before the plane even lands, she's like, my summer wasn't supposed to be like this. I'm so mad that I've been shipped off here.
But it's also a time of her exploring her sexuality.
Yeah.
Is that just something she's coming to on her own, or has she been influenced by her mother at all?
I think it's something she was figuring out in Brooklyn and just continues in Barbados. I think there's some wildness that happens because her mother's not there to kind of check her. But it's also true her mother hasn't been there for some time because she's been checked out in New York even before her kids left.
My guest is Naomi Jackson. Her novel, The Star Side of Bird Hill, is published by Penguin Press. Phaedra, the younger sister, I'm assuming, to some degree, based on you. You were the younger sister in your own family. She's much younger, so her adjustment to this to Bird Hill is quite different than her sister's.
Yeah. Then one of the things I loved about writing this book was being able to inhabit two profoundly different perspectives and relationships to Barbados. So as I said, Dion is really over it by the time she comes to Barbados, and Phaedra is very much full of awe and wonder about Barbados. She wants to hang out with her grandmother. She wants to learn about the place. She wants to try her Bajan accent. And so I liked being able to have the sunshine of Phaedra and the snark of Dion both in the same book.
But these are kids who are considered outsiders.
Very
when they
so.
Go to the place that everybody else considers their roots.
Exactly. And that they kind of consider their roots, too. So I think when I was writing this book, I wanted to work with the discomfort of thinking that you belong to a place and then finding out that you don't, or that you might belong eventually, but it will take time.
And then there's the whole matter of living with your grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Which is not easy. I mean,
being dumped on your grandmother,
yeah,
to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, Hyacinth is happy to have her grandkids home, but I think Dion's struggling with a lot of things. She has to, like, wear these clothes that her grandmother sews for her. Her grandma sews her bras. I mean, she's really struggling with a lot of things related to fashion and also emotion. She's also very much used to taking care of her little sister, so ceding that parental role to her grandmother is not easy.
How did you approach writing about Avril's mental illness? What did you want to show from that experience?
I wanted to draw a character for whom readers could have empathy. So it was really important to me that I not spend a lot of time diagnosing Avril's mental illness, but just show the ripple effects of one family member's illness on the rest of the family.
And each one of them has to deal with it in different ways.
Exactly. And so it was important to me that Avril be drawn with compassion, with dignity, and with an expansiveness that suggests both kind of a clinical diagnosis and also just the difficulty of her life. I mean, many people in the same situation would be depressed, I think.
Hyacinth is a matriarchal figure for the family, but also for Bird Hill, this area. Is the matriarchal family structure common in the Caribbean?
I would say so. That as I say that, I also have to say a lot of people say, is this book about you? And I think I'm lucky in the sense that my dad is an incredible WNYC listener and an incredible Caribbean man.
He has to be a good person.
He has all the tote bags and the mugs. But I both think that the matriarchal family structure is really very much embedded in Caribbean culture, and I think that there are lots of really wonderful West Indian men and fathers.
And I think people probably know less about Barbadian culture than they know about Cuban or Haitian or others. But there's Obeah, which is not Santeria, it's not Vodun, but it also is an important part of religious life.
Yeah, so with Obeah in this novel, I wanted to show kind of the ways that Caribbean people are able to do both things, to be Christian and also to practice some African-based spiritual work. And so with Hyacinth being a midwife and an Obeah woman, but also a Christian, I just wanted to draw a rich, complex character that was true to the place.
No, Obeah would not be something that the girls would have spent much time with in Brooklyn?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah. So how different would religion be when they experience it in Barbados and when they experience it in Brooklyn?
I think the intensity of religion in Barbados is really a surprise to both of them. Avril is not a very good West Indian girl or woman, and so she's not taking her kids to church every Sunday like my parents did. And so when they show up in Barbados and they're forced to go to church every Sunday and vacation Bible school, and they're exposed to their grandma's Obeah, it's a lot. I think there's a whirlwind around this newfound spiritual practice and the obligation to be part of a community through religious practice.
Have these characters stayed with you? Do you think you'll write about them again?
Everyone keeps asking me if there's going to be a sequel to this novel.
They're young.
They are young.
And they're just coming into their own as people. So
yeah,
I guess if you create characters that people connect to, readers connect to, they want to know
what happens. I love all of them in different ways. Phaedra, Dion, and Hyacinth, and even Avril all have a special place in my heart. I think because I didn't grow up in the Caribbean as an adult or even as a teenager, it's a little bit hard for me to imagine writing a full book about that experience. Writing about the summer felt very natural to me because I had spent summers in the Caribbean and then gone home and researched them in that way. But to write a longer novel from that experience seems a bit challenging. But we'll see. You never know.
You have you were at the writer's workshop in, that's Ames, Iowa?
Iowa City.
But also you've studied in University of Cape Town?
I did. I was there in 2005 for a year. It was a fantastic experience.
You studied writing there?
I did. There's an MA in creative writing program at the University of Cape Town. So I was on a Fulbright and I got my master's while I was there.
This is your first novel. Are you at work on another one?
I am. So to answer your question about whether Phaedra and Dion and Hyacinth will have another life, no. But I am working on a new novel. It's tentatively titled Behind God's Back. And it's about a Caribbean family. It follows them in Brooklyn from the 1930s to the 2000s. So it's a real estate story, a love story, a gentrification story, all those things.
Naomi Jackson's first novel is The Star Side of Bird Hill. It's published by Penguin Press. Thank you so much for being on our show today.
Thank you.